Today we celebrate and meditate upon what can be called the most important mystery in the Christian life. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says this: "The mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in Himself. It is therefore the source of all the other mysteries of faith. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching." We can consider two points from this. One, the fact that the Trinity is a mystery and what that means, and also the fact that this mystery is central, has priority. It is the most fundamental and most essential. How is that so? First, on the matter of mystery. A mystery is something that we believe because we have reason to believe in it, but our reason alone is insufficient to explain all of it. Some people may criticize Christian belief or Christian faith in general because more often than not, we seem to surrender to mystery. And people say, aha, you're not being rational. You're being irrational because you believe in the absence of proof or reasons. Mysteries is something that goes beyond our reason, our ability to comprehend. And when it comes to the God of the universe, it makes perfect sense that there are aspects of His being, of His reality, that far transcend our finite human intellects. But mystery is not simply of the domain of faith. We can encounter mysteries in natural knowledge. People like to pit faith and reason, so I'll just draw an example of mystery from the history of science. The mystery of the covalent bond. I'm talking about chemistry here. And there are reasons that we have to believe that covalent bonds exist. One, we know that atoms exist. We know that atoms come together to make molecules. Atoms, we've discovered, are comprised of a positively charged nucleus in the middle and then have negatively charged electrons on the outside, right? These are truths. These are insights we've gained from scientific knowledge. But then there is a challenge there. If you're saying that we have this essentially a sphere of negative charge on the outside, negative particles floating around, how do they even want to come together? How can they even form a bond, right? And this is something that we could say in a certain sense was a mystery to science because it went beyond and defied our understanding of things. It was not until people were able to apply the principles of quantum mechanics that they were able to have some explanation of, yes, because of these interactions, energy actually decreases as they come together, this sweet spot. What happened, note, is that there was something that seemed to be contradictory. Negatively charged particles coming together and forming a bond. But that insight that they do in fact bond was not discarded. Compare this with the mystery of the Trinity. The mystery of the Trinity, our belief in the Trinity, is founded upon certain truths that have been revealed to us by God. Truths that we encounter not because we are a religion of philosophers, but rather a religion of a chosen people. As the psalmist said today, a chosen people is God has chosen to be His own. God has revealed Himself as one. Furthermore, He's revealed that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God, and there is still one God. Furthermore, the Father is distinct from the Son and the Spirit. The Son is different from the Father and the Spirit, and the Spirit is different from the Father and the Son. But somehow we have to put these truths together, and we come up with this mystery of the Trinity, how we can speak about it. There is tension there in the Trinity, in the mystery of it. And it is very tempting to try to reduce that, to domesticate it as it were. But if we were to try to domesticate it and wrap our finite minds around the infinite mystery of God in Himself, then we do violence to it. We are not speaking perfectly truthfully. Some people may try to say, well, the Son and the Spirit are less than the Father. That's something we would dismiss as false, because they are all equally God. Some people may try to say, even Christians of good belief, trying to understand God, say, well, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are different ways or modes or masks that God puts on when He relates to us. So sometimes He's a Father to us, sometimes He's Jesus, and sometimes He's a Spirit. But at its core, the Trinity is about how God relates within Himself in His own inner life, even before He relates to us. Some people can say that the persons of the Trinity are just parts of God, that the Father has one-third of God, and the Son has a third of God, and the Spirit has a third of God, whatever. But that is false. Each person of the Trinity is fully God, each fully possessing the divine nature in its entirety. If people were to apply that kind of reasoning of dismissing the tension and the mystery to, say, this scientific understanding of chemistry before they were able to come to this current understanding, people may propose things like, well, maybe we got things wrong about atoms. Maybe there are positive electrons and there are some negative electrons. Maybe there's ways we could figure this out with just our finite knowledge. But no, they maintain to these truths, and eventually, over the course of human reasoning, they're able to come to a better and deeper understanding. The key difference, though, between understanding some facet of chemistry and understanding God is that, in principle, God in himself will always surpass our intellect, our knowledge. That is simply something to be humble about, not something to be frightened about. But we recognize that we have reasons to believe, but the fullness of this reality surpasses our reason. That is a mystery. But how is this mystery the most fundamental and essential teaching? It can seem kind of abstract. Like, what does it matter if we get all the minutiae right about who God is and who the Father and the Son and the Spirit is? It seems to has no effect to my practical life. I would suggest that the nature of God is eminently, eminently practical, because it tells us where we are in the cosmos. It tells us from whom we have come from and to whom we are going, how we understand the world as a whole. Simply put, the question of who God is tells us who is at the core of our reality. And either we can say that God, God is simply a solitary isolation, just alone, that the root of the creation is just loneliness. Maybe we can say that. Or, affirming the truth of the Trinity, we say that what is at the core of creation and at the end of history is rather a perfect, lively, and generative communion of love. The foundation of creation is not isolation or loneliness, but rather communion and love. That is the Christian belief applied to our understanding of the world. And then when we apply that more directly to our own lives, this reinforces to us and exhorts us to live out a supernatural call. As Christians, our call is not simply to be naturally decent or even naturally heroic. Yes, human creatures are capable of many good things, and we could be good and kind and tolerant and decent and what have you, just with human willpower. But as Christians, we are called to more than that. We are called to be supernaturally holy. partaking in the life of God Himself. That is our call. We are not called simply to be, you know, self-sufficient superhumans that, you know, have reached the pinnacle of our humanity. We are called to even surpass that by uniting ourselves with God, by living the life of the Trinity. And that is the mystery we celebrate today, that God exists as a Trinity of persons, a perfect communion of love in which the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal to each other and perfectly giving and receiving love to each other and life. This is the dynamism of God, the dynamism that is at the foundation of the cosmos and the dynamism to which all of us are tending, and the dynamism in which we are called to live right now, to live a Trinitarian life. This is expressed in a very real way whenever we come to the liturgy and to Mass. Whenever we pray that simple prayer of the sign of the cross, or pray the glory be, we acknowledge that we are living in the life of the Trinity, in which we, united with God the Son, Jesus Christ, offer love, worship, and prayer to God the Father, all the while we are embraced by the unity of God the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Spirit, God Himself, to do divine things. That is our Christian call, a call that can only be possible if God is Trinity. So I think it's fitting to conclude as we glorify the name of the Trinity, as we pray together, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.